Our name is the RR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else. Welcome to our Season 6, Episode 13.
Bono y Bono. Get it? It's like Mono y Mono, except with Bono.
Well, okay.
Classic me.
We'll do this Bono y Bono.
That's like, what it's like. It's like
that's two the AIs iPad fighting. Talking to the actual Bono.
Exactly. The iPad is arch enemy. Seriously, the last enemy in Drive is essentially an iPad. I find that hilarious.
Takes that in-house Apple sponsorship to a whole new level.
There's a side storyline about how Bono was trying to get into the driver before the system update that would remove him. There's going to be like a side like online movie for that.
He was going to get deleted if they upgraded to Windows 10.
Kamen Rider Drive surprise update. It's going to be a thing.
Okay. What ups is this? Don't think anything major's happened that I can remember. In terms of purchases, let's see. I found 11 of the 12 chargers that are out. I found all of the Series 2 ones. I did not find the Series 1 Terrazord. That's still, who knows.
Somewhere. Take a drink every time someone on Twitter spells it Petrazord. It's hilarious. It happens so many times. It's like, isn't that Russian?
This is my Petrazord. That wasn't Russian. I don't know what that was.
I'm not sure. It was just generic foreign.
So I've got 11 unopened Dino Chargers sitting in my review station right now.
Dino Charger not ready.
So I'll get to opening those at some point relatively soon, I think. So I'm still on the hunt for the Series 1 Terrazord, and I'm still on the hunt for the villain figures. But I'm not in too big of a rush for those. I'll find them when Hi, Maymay! I will find them when I find them. Don't you touch the microphone. I did get a Ami Ami box today with my premium stuff from Oki 2. That had, more importantly than anything else, the 15th anniversary Digivice. So I cracked that open right away and started playing.
You've been shaking it all night long.
I don't know how to... Is there a way to check steps?
Bro, do you even Digidestined?
Is that steps? Well, it's 500. I don't know what that says. Like, it's in Kana, and I can read Kana, but it, like, moves too fast. I don't know what the fuck that says. Fine, whatever, I won't read you. But, so, I don't know, I've been shaking it, I ran into one battle, and I forgot how to play. And so I just, like, died. But it looks cool, and it's fun, so, there's that. What else as I pick up the microphone? Case of the Shift Car Series 8, because it has the Neo Viral Cores and the Evil Medic versions of Burning Solar and Funky Spike. There we go. So those are there. ACPB08, the Zangetsu Baron set, is here. The formula tires are here, even though I'm, like, selling them instantaneously. Chogokin Shinobi Maru, the Hurricane Shuriken, the Kagranger Shuriken, SHF Marika, SHF Hulk, SHF Captain America, a Gashapon set of Pokemon Megastones, and more importantly than anything else, besides the Digivice, because that was pretty important, Masterpiece G2 Bumblebee. I go through this big long spiel in the vlog about why G2 Bumblebee means like the universe to me. And so for it existing, I love it, and I haven't opened it yet, and so if you hear plastic noises throughout the portion of this podcast,
review.
that is me opening everything because, fuck it, I want to play.
Now, does the vlog explain whether or not your Bumblebee display is put back up, or is it still in that box at your parents' house?
It's still in that box.
Oh, Jesus, it's been like 3 years, I swear.
I think it's been longer than that.
Because I think you were talking to somebody on Twitter about, like, it was like a My Little Pony Bumblebee, and you're like, I'll probably pick it up. I'm like, are you just going to pick it up and put it in that box?
No, I'll pick it up and put it somewhere. Like, all my Bumblebees past, I think, like, Revenge of the Fallen are kind of, like, scattered right now. I think that's about as up-to-date as that box got. So that got here, my HLJ box with Lionhow, the Changer, the Vinyl, and whatever the newest Ultraman X stuff that I don't have yet is, that'll all get here probably tomorrow, I think, after, like, waiting a week for shipping. I don't know what the fuck HLG was doing. I bought Rare Replay.
I bought that too.
I didn't play any of it yet, but I bought it.
But you're gonna replay it.
Yeah.
It's called you can't just play it.
Even though I've only played, I think, like, three or four of the games on there. So technically it's like a first play.
Yeah, but you have to pretend play. For, like, credit, for street cred.
Street cred, I have to pretend that it's my replay. Get off the fucking keyboard.
Maybe this is a dumb question, but how come Conquer Live and Reloaded isn't on there?
I don't know, that was for Xbox, wasn't it?
Yeah, because I was thinking, oh, it's a licensing issue. I'm like, wait a minute. Because the first one was for N64, and then the second one was for Xbox, so there shouldn't be a licensing issue since I'm playing on Xbox One.
I don't know. Maybe there was a porting problem or something.
I don't know. Oh, well.
It's not even like a 360 thing because Nuts and Bolts is on there and Cameo's on there.
It was an Xbox One game. Or original. Damn it.
Oh, okay. I still think there's Xbox original games on there.
Is there?
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, that could be it. Which seems weird considering like all the compilations of like PS2 and Xbox and all those type of games that have happened.
Huh. Well, I think that about does it. Like, it's just like a continuation of last week. I bought a lot of shit.
Okay, my turn. I feel like it was only like more like 3 days, but I feel like I spent the better part of the last week helping my friend move. So that's been a thing.
It's just a long process that feels like it just takes forever.
It does a lot of lifting and stuff like that. So that's been a lot of my week. And I also did pick up a replay, like I just said. I popped into it for a little bit. It takes a long time to install because it's got to install all the 360 emulators for like Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie and all the banjos and all that. So, but and I was like going chronologically, and I really liked the first little space game with the little rockets. It was kind of addicting, actually. But it's a really neat collection. Like, you know what? I like rockets, Brian. You have a problem? It reminds me of the movie Rocket Man. Wasn't me. Nobody remember that movie? Fine. I'm just fading to obscurity with my Rocket Man references. Anyway, so yeah, I've played a little bit of that. It's just a really neat collection just in terms of, like, you know, how it's put together and, like, how you can go into them. And the rewind button is amazing. I wish I had it for everything.
What does,
like,
it do?
Like, it rewinds you 10 seconds. So if you die, you can rewind and, like, stop. You can fix it.
Oh, damn.
It's really cool. Like, it's specifically made for, like, the earlier games that, you know, like, kind of were on a higher difficulty and, like, where you originally couldn't save. Not higher difficulty, you know what I mean, where it's, like, little games like that where you could die easily and then the later levels are, like, you know, you can't save and now you can save. So, like, in the little space rocket game, like, your objective objective
is the dog from VR Troopers.
Exactly, there you go.
Kerrigan.
You go around and you collect the little pieces of the rocket on some levels and you place them all together and then you gotta drop the fuel over it and contain it. And meanwhile, all these little enemies are attacking you and they're, like, bouncing off the walls and shit. And if it attacks you, you die, but if you rewind, you can, like, see what happened and fix it. And, like, in the review I watched for it, was the main example it was used for was Battletoads.
Mm-hmm.
But so I don't know if it has it for everyone. I don't think it has it for, like, Banjo-Kazooie and stuff, but still, it's really cool, and it's got all kinds of different, you know, like, galleries and little documentaries and stuff. It's just a really cool collection. So, yeah, so I'm going to dive more into that. I've also still been playing Trap Team, which is just really fun. I really like trapping the little guys, and I'll have to play a few later, but one of the guys, Chill Bill, has like a really funny, like each villain has a specific little like theme song, and his I think has been used in something before. It's actually like a song called like Gold Swagger or something, but it's really funny. But that game is pretty fun, and apparently Skylander Superchargers is gonna have multiplayer, so that's gonna be a thing. That's not part of my life, but that's Skylander's life. Let's see, watching stuff, I'm still on Vampire Diaries. If Kevin was here, we would probably chat about it, but I'm almost in the middle of season 3, and I'm actually pretty addicted to it. And I've also been watching Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which is really awesome. Buying wise, Oki, my debt collector, found me yesterday, and I had to pay him for like 4 months of stuff, so it was a pretty large bill, but thank God for the exchange rate being pretty good. So I have a bunch of shit on the way, including that Digivice and my crest, so I can have an empty crest and then we can all match and stuff, except I'll be like soulless because like I ran through my head again and none of them match me at all. So that has like a lot of stuff. My Ami Ami box got here and there was figures in it and the little shurikens, and Type Wild is a really nice figure. They really nailed him like sexually. And Baron Lemon, the used one, the only real problem with him is that his legs are kind of loose, which is fine because my regular Baron's legs are loose. But he doesn't have any dents or any like scrapes or cracks or anything like that. And so other than his legs being loose, he still looks like a beautiful figure. And the only other thing which I forgot to check is like the little flap on his tip of his cape is kind of loose. I don't know if Duke's was like that or not. I don't remember. I keep meaning to pick Duke up and check that, but it was a good deal. It was the bottom line. And my Chozetsu bracelet arrived today. And why are all the Ninja toys just so disappointing? Its features: spins in handle, spins in sword. Done. I thought it was going to have more sounds for some reason.
I did too, to be honest with you. I watched the video for it, and it's just kind of underwhelming. It just goes, and I, need, and that's about all it does.
Pretty much. And like, it just like, it looks like the burger, and it's like, well, I guess they do what they do in the show, but still, like, it's kind of disappointing. Like, I really liked the shurikens at first, but like, the more they come out, and the more that I see kind of wasted potential for a lot of it. So, yeah, that was pretty underwhelming, but that's pretty much it. My life has been moving boxes and vampires. So, you know. Pretty much typical for me, actually. I know, like, way too much about supernatural lores. Like, way more than I know about the lore of our actual world. It's kind of disturbing.
There. No problem with that.
Nope. Just Chuck Testa. It's another realistic mount of a vampire. All right. This is usually be where Kevin goes, but he's MIA.
He's somewhere.
Missing in Australia. He's in the outback. Just kidding.
I really want a steak.
I want that blooming onion. We're just going to go to Outback. We'll be right back. Okay, you got, unless you mentioned it and I blocked it out, you got your membership, right, for Morphicon?
Oh, yeah.
Platinum. Sell out. I'm just kidding. I think you can still order hoodies. That's the package I'm getting.
There's so much stuff.
I know, I saw.
I'm like, I have to get all the things. I have to pack an extra suitcase to bring home all the additional wardrobe that I will have accumulated.
I was, like, worried you wouldn't be able to get the hoodies, but then I looked on their site, and they have a store where you can get, like, all the hoodies from last year, so...
Yeah.
I'm pretty safe.
They put up all the, like, extra ones and stuff, so...
I feel like... This is, like, a sort of side note, but I guess for Morphicon and all conventions in general, I wish they would let you know what guests they're at least trying to think about getting before you commit to buying stuff.
Yeah.
Like, for Morphicon, I guess it was always different, because, like, 70% of the reason I was going was to hang out with you guys. But, like, for something like Denver Comic Con, it's like, I don't want to commit a year in advance when they have, like, no information about who's going. And it's like...
Is that an event where you have to, or...?
For Saturday, sometimes it's... Or, like, the weekend pass and stuff, it sells that. And as it gets closer, Saturday can sell out once they start announcing people. But it's like, I wish you could just know, like, what kind of net they're casting.
Yeah. No, I understand,
like,
that.
When the tickets go on sale, you have, like, no idea whatsoever. I mean, this one, you know Rocky's going to show up because he's got nothing better to do. But that's about it. It's just, that's kind of a frustrating thing in general. That was just a really side rant.
Right now, the only people that you know are going to be there is, like, Tyranoranger and Terror Ranger, because they blabbed.
Yeah, pretty much. And they also have nothing better to do.
That's correct.
Especially Terror Ranger. At least Geki's kind of adorable in person, but I just don't like her.
I really don't, to be honest. It's less a problem with her and more of a problem with she has this mass following that just, like, idolizes her.
For really
like,
no reason.
To a point where it's, like, absolutely fucking creepy.
That's like, pretty much most, like, Japanese Sentai girls. It's very creepy.
Like, it's just, like, and she retweets, this is the problem with her, is she retweets, like, every compliment directed toward her ever. And so when I think I unfollowed her, either unfollowed or muted her or turned off retweets, I don't remember what I did, but, like, it was just a constant stream of, like, just praise tweets towards her and calling her a princess and how sexy she was. And I'm like, hey, you guys are creepers. I hate all of you.
At least she's, like, appropriate age compared to, like, some of the other ones. But still, there's definitely a creeper factor in our fandom. But we know they'll be there. I think Rocky's going to be there, like I said. The Dino Charge cast will be there. And the Power Rangers, whatever cast, will be there. But you probably can't find them unless you're, like, super lucky. I feel like people don't mention enough that the Dino Charge casts are at least partially those douches that, like, brag about exercising all the time. I hate those people.
Gotta be fit. Ranger fit, yeah.
No.
I'm like, no, I like food too much. Could I lose weight? Absolutely. Will I be Ranger fit? No. I might just be slightly less fat.
Hashtag Ranger slightly less fat.
I'd be kicking at like Ranger fit, looking at like Ramirez.
That works.
That's my version of Ranger fit is Ramirez. But yeah, I guess we can move on to the news.
Yep.
News. All none of it. There's Power Ranger Pez dispensers coming next year. That's our big story of the week. Let's see. Supposedly the premiere of Dino Charge, the remainder of the episodes, is occurring a week earlier on August 22nd now. Why? No one knows. Means that we could actually see the newest episode on the 15th if they do that stupid tweet this and we'll put it up a week early thing on.
And then people complain for another reason that the ratings are dying or something. Yeah.
And so of course it did start airing in Mexico or something, Brazil, I don't know,
Latin America.
That's
only available in South America.
So it did start airing there on like Monday.
So you can watch it while enjoying some Peruvian puff peppers.
Or something. So you can do that. I know a lot of people are flipping out about that because once again, we're getting shafted by foreign countries. whatever. I don't really care. Like, there's people like going, oh, I'm just spoiling everything. Don't follow me. And there's people like, I don't want spoilers. And then you got like people like me that just don't give a shit. I'm like, whatever, I'm gonna watch it.
It's like the fourth year it's happened. It's like,
it's not a surprise either.
Yeah, like, exactly.
None of this is a surprise. Dino Charge is no different than any other year. I think people expect it to be different, so when it happens they're surprised again.
We'll probably be surprised again next year with Supercharge.
Probably.
It's like every year the hiatus shows up and then this shows up and people are like, what the hell? Why are they doing this? I don't know why they're doing it for the fourth time. It must be a pattern or something. I don't know.
It's crazy.
Bottom line is we all get to watch Dino Charge soon in some form or another.
Yeah. Like I'm not in any rush, honestly. So that's a thing that happened. I want to say that's pretty close to it. There's an SH Figure Arts for Cho Dead Heat Drive. That got, like, announced and put up for pre-order within, like, a day of each other.
Is it just me, or with even aside from that, is that, like, one of the fastest turnarounds for a movie form, too? Like,
pretty close. Like,
we have to wait for a while because I don't know what they're doing. We do the toy sales meme, but then they make all these new forms and stuff, and they never do anything for them.
Pretty much. I think they only did a really quick turnaround for this one because it was so easy. All they really do is make a new head, because the rest of it is either stolen from Mach or stolen from Machin Chaser. So all they had to do was craft a new head, which is pretty much just Drive-type Speed's head, but with a funky little plate on its head.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty easy make, regardless. In fact, there was a lot of customs that came out really quick after Mach came out. But, so that's a thing. I don't really care a whole lot. It's kind of neat. I dig it quite a bit. I don't know if I'm going to end up getting it. I would be tempted by Dark Drive if they make him.
Yeah, I hope they make that.
I really like that suit quite a bit. Not Drive Type Special. Drive Type Special is a turd. But Dark Drive's really cool.
Yeah, I definitely want them to do that one. I'd
also be kind of tempted by Gold Drive because he reminds me of Bumblebee.
Yeah, I think, well, just the Drive mold's pretty good, and I kind of dig Gold Drive as well. I think his tire sash looks kind of funky, like it looks like a Fruit Loop that's been sitting out too long. But, but like, the rest of it, I really dig, so. Like, I don't know, I meant to mention that last week when we were talking about it, but it looks weird. But, I don't know, maybe it's supposed to be something I'm not seeing, but I just don't like the tire. But everything else is nice. But, yeah, I would definitely like Dark Drive, and like I mentioned to you in the pre-show, I think I'm going to, like, gamble, and if I find a good price on Mandarake for Cho Dead Heat, I'll probably pick it up. But it's just a smidge too expensive for, like, pre-ordering it.
Yeah. So there's that. About the only other thing is we got some clear pictures of, or at least one singular clear picture, of Kamen Rider Savior. We mentioned him.
He kind of looks like the Apple one with the haircut.
I think last week. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Whenever we talked about the Savior Arrow toy that was in the magazine. And so he's basically, like, they were sitting here going, what could we do? And they're like, hey, let's fucking wreck the Mars suit and the Bujingaim suit and make a new one. And they're like, okay. Let's do that. So it's basically just a black undersuit with, I think it's Baron style. And then it's just the normal red Apple armor on one side. And then the other shoulder pad is the blood orange shoulder pad. Because he's like a Jimba form without Jimba.
And the head's like the Mars, but trimmed.
It's basically like the Mars head, but without, like, any sort of, like, helmet feature. It's just, like, the head. It's like the AC figure before you put a helmet on it.
Pretty much.
So that's kind of weird as shit, but I don't know. I don't really dig the two different shoulder pads, but I get why. He's got this, like, thing attached to his back or his armpit or something. I don't understand what that's supposed to be exactly, but I don't know. We'll see with some better pictures, but it's really weird. But they did announce the supposed villain for the Knuckle portion of the film is actually called Black Baron, and as the name suggests, it's a Black Baron. It's Black and Gold Baron.
It looks really cool,
and I love it. I need something to represent
that'd be this another figure life. That's really easy to do, like you said, so I would totally buy it.
Like, I feel like we're probably, like, eventually gonna see, like, almost anything Gaim, because Gaim figurettes are selling so well.
Yeah,
but it might take a little bit, but I think we will see it at some point. And Black Baron itself is kind of like good, like, event fodder too.
Oh god,
not that I want to deal with that, but
Baron's like the new event whore.
We'll see. I really dig it. The yellow obviously meshes extremely well with the black, so it looks like a really nice suit. It like the banana arms aren't changed, the banana spear isn't changed at all. It's just the normal ones, but it's just the undersuit that's changed. But I really like it.
That's pretty much it for the news. We talked about Ghost like 4 times already. It was officially revealed.
Oh,
revealed! Confirmed. Confirmed.
The website, the Ghost toy website did open, and just like all the other years, they're like showing off one new toy a week. And obviously, to start with the Ghost Driver, the little fleshlight. And so the Ghost icons have like sparkly stickers. And so I think that's going to be our difference between the DX and... It's sort of like the...
Dino Charger.
The shift... the shift cars. How the DX shift cars have the little foil sticker and the other ones don't. But that, there's the clicking too. But so it's just going to be a simple... The DX ones have this nice sparkly sticker. The other ones are flat sticker. That's my guess. But that was about the only thing that the website showed. And... since we didn't mention it last week, because we're idiots, the Newton Ghost icon is with, like, we talked about it way back when the set was originally announced, the Shift Next special, whatever the fuck it's called, the set with the key and the new double-sided shift car thing. We knew that was going to come with a ghost-related item. Way back when, and it didn't dawn on me or Kevin when we kept going through all the toy catalogs like little whores that the Newton Ghost icon was not in there whatsoever, and that is because it is the one that is included in the next special, whatever the fuck it's called. I don't know anymore.
I wasn't even thinking about it.
It comes in that thing. Like, it was weird. It was really stupid because we noticed that the Newton ghost change, like, thing wasn't present in the toy catalog, but we, like, completely skipped over the fact that the ghost icon wasn't there. But that is also a thing that we found out from the little thing, so the website.
Lots of things going on.
Lots of things.
Of all sizes.
Little things, big things, small things, big things, white things, black things.
String things.
string cheese. Now I'm hungry. That does it. Nothing substantial this week, just a lot of little things.
Yeah.
Little tiny shriveled things.
Little tidbits.
All right, so I guess that is time to move along to superhero time. It's about as energetic as you're gonna get out of me.
I'm not pretty energetic.
I'm not doing the nin thing.
You just did it
because I can't. Like, informally, I can't. It's not in my contract. So.
Can we just start?
Ninja.
This is like when we do, they don't do a full theme song, they just do the title card.
It's like the finale episodes.
Pretty much, except like way less epic, like less stakes.
Yeah.
In an uncharacteristic decision, or I don't know if that's the right way to phrase it, I did not hate this episode entirely.
Mm-hmm.
It had some batshit dumb parts, but I was actually more entertained than I have been in some time. For whatever reason, maybe I was in a good mood. I don't know. But I did not hate this episode.
I 100% agree. Like, watching it, I can't say there was a lot that I thought was great. But, like, I'm like, well, okay, the characters are being all right. It helped that Takaharu didn't talk a whole lot.
They even told him to shut up right off the bat.
And, yeah, I think that's what made me like the episode.
Well, and
Fuka was just like, shut up. I'm like, thank you.
And one of the first times, I think the only time Takaharu has ever amused me happened in this episode, was because of the fact that he dressed up like a red pepper to scare people, because he's scared of them. It's kind of funny, but the funniest part about it for me was when they were talking about the prank outside, and while they're all discussing it, you can just see him sulking in the background that nobody was scared by it. And I thought it was funny because he didn't like obnoxiously address, like I assumed he would, that no one was scared about it. Like, it was really underplayed. like, the, everyone was, he was, like, in the background, and it wasn't a huge focus. That's what I found funny about it. It was, like, the subtle humor thing, and he looked like this little red pepper Pikachu with his little pout, and it was just kind of funny. He's funniest when he doesn't talk.
It's amazing how that
so
works.
So I found that kind of amusing. And Kasumi essentially proved that she's the most intelligent person in the entire show.
Absolutely. Villains, I've been saying that Rangers, since, like, episode two.
It's a villains, it's Rangers, still mentors, true. Anything. Like, she should be the mentor because all the adults are of no help. I thought it was kind of brilliant, the fact that she essentially orchestrated that entire thing. Like, not just the catching them inside the place because she was actually scared of them. Like, she wasn't even scared of them. Like, it was a setup from the get-go. So that was actually pretty neat. So, like, that was a neat point, and the quote-unquote sort of lesson they tried to teach her actually was the first one to ever somewhat make sense about Jello's name. Is it Nagi?
Yeah.
Damn, I got one right. him, like, having to learn to take charge by himself sometimes, and even though it didn't work, it was good that he at least tried. Like, that was the first time I've seen a lesson in this show, or actually, in a lot of Sentai episodes, it at least made somewhat sense to me. Oftentimes, they're really nonsensical and, like, contradict themselves and are something along the lines of you can't commit murder because you're yourself. Like, I don't understand logic sometimes, so I thought it was one of the better ones, at least.
It's kind of like this meta thing for Nagi because, I mean, we're 20-something episodes into the show, and, like, they're all really bland characters, but Nagi was, like, the blandest of bland. Like, you could have deleted him from, like, every episode, and it would not have changed the outcome whatsoever. Or, like, you wouldn't even notice because he barely ever has any lines.
I always forget who he is.
The only reason I can remember his name so well is because it was the snake from Harry Potter.
He's like the silence. You forget him when you're not looking at him, but, like, with way less stakes.
He's a reject silence.
Pretty much.
He got fired from the church.
He's just called the quiet. Like, it's just like...
the message here being, like, not to rely on others, I'm like, that's all he really ever did was rely on everyone else. He was just there being the yellow one.
Pretty much.
But like I tweeted, Kasumi OP.
Yeah, like, she was great in this episode.
She's continued to be, like, not necessarily the strongest one of them, but absolutely the smartest. Like, fucking Yakumo's over here going, like, oh, I'm so smart, too easy. And I'm like, bitch, you ain't got nothing on Kasumi.
What especially stands out when, like, not only are her fellow Rangers stupid, but, like, all of these sort of, like, mentor characters for them are unhelpful and stupid. So it, like, makes it twice as good. Exactly. Well, yeah. Or, you know, you got, wait, Dad, Grandpa, Lil Nuts, who I thought was fine, but then he actually went nuts.
I forgot.
Little testes. Sorry. And then, you know, Lion Guy, who was sort of presented as, like, a teacher at the beginning. And, like, every type of figure that pops in to try to teach them is, like, really stupid. Or is trying to teach them a lesson that's actually not very productive. So she seems like she would belong on a normal Sentai team.
Yeah.
It's funny because I feel like in a regular Sentai that would be better maybe, that has, like, more standout characters, she would kind of blend into the background, but she stands out a little bit more sometimes because everyone's so either so annoying you want to forget them or you just straight up forget them. It's kind of funny. And the monster of the week was definitely campy, but I thought she had one of the better designs of the monsters of the week, because so recently they've been really over the top stupid looking, but I thought hers was one of the better looking ones. There was some really dumb, weird parts, like the whole end with the snowman nipple cannons, and
the, like, snowman was fucking great.
Like, there was some straight up really weird parts, but,
like, they turn into a fucking snowman, and all of a sudden the fucking guns pop out of his boots.
Just, like, it was like nipple cannons. Gives, like, a whole new meaning. Do you want to build a snowman? Like, for real. Premium Bandai nipple snowman cover for your Shuriken How?
I'd buy it.
But, yeah, I don't think there's too much else. There was something that happened at the end, wasn't there? Oh, yeah, they called in some terrorists.
God. Oh, that was a scene that Tom was in. it's always really easy to find Tom when he's an extra in Toku because he's just like a white guy.
Yeah, because like, no one else is white over there.
He had a crutch at this period too because he hurt his ankle, so it was really easy to spawn this time. But for real, it's like it's at an airport. I'm like, okay, that's cool, whatever. And then all of a sudden, these like fucking black KKK members just come like walking in. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you would get stopped by security.
That's... Yeah, even if you didn't have any weapons or anything, like just dressing like that. You know what they reminded me of is those ghoul things from the Lightspeed Lost Galaxy team up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like those ghouls that I almost just said Lightspeed, and then all of a sudden started like, I almost glitched and just continuously repeated it till I passed out. I was close. But yeah, that's what they reminded me of. It took me forever to think of it.
Good thing.
Good thing. Classic Mac. But I don't think there's too much else to say. But like I said, I did find it to be one of the more enjoyable ones, which is kind of really funny when you think about it. Like, in the grand scheme of like these 20-plus episodes, one of the more enjoyable ones was kind of a dumb filler.
Yeah.
That really wasn't that important.
I feel like this episode in general was... I don't even want to say written better or anything, but it felt overall a little bit more solid to me, even if it was just a filler, so I kind of hope it's a sign that things could change for the show, but I don't know. We'll see. It could pull a drive, I suppose, but...
They'd have to really do some major stuff with
like
that.
They have to do a lot. They have to it's do like, a lot of backpedaling.
It's like right now, for the remainder of this, the most I'm hoping for is just an occasional thing like this where I actually sit down and at least somewhat enjoy watching the Sentai episode. That's all I ask for until we get to next year. Then we got to pull it together.
It's the 40th anniversary, or 40th season, rather. It's not really the 40th anniversary. That's this year. But the 40th season... So if like they can't pull out all the stops for 4-0, then yeah, I give up.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm jinxing it by hoping it, but I definitely hope it turns it around, because last time we had hit up the anniversary, like we were kind of really down on Ghost Ager and we were kind of depressed about not being into Sentai, and then Gokaiger came out and we were like super hard on Gokaiger when the information was coming out, when there was like essentially rumors of it being decayed, like, and there was gonna bring back the headers or something.
Keys are so stupid. They come out of his butt and it flips the legs up. It's stupid, man.
It still looks funny when you look at it from the right angle. But
what was this little bitch?
Oh, man. We're freaking out over all the forms and stuff. They didn't even make...
Double's so great, and then O's this fucking little bitch comes in with all these forms. Who the hell does he think he is?
Oh, man, we're so great at predicting stuff.
You're amazing.
But, like, the bottom line is like, we were really down on Sentai, and, like, Gokaiger, like, really turned it around for, like, this 3-year period of really good Sentai. So I'm hoping that this happens again, that, like, the 40s season is better, and then after that, at least one more good one. Uh-huh. That would be great. It would be funny if it was a pattern. 3 good years, too bad. So, we're getting scanned soon, right? I keep feeling like it's time. We're like, oh, Ninja's got to be done, right?
What? This was only episode 22?
Oh. Yeah, hardly anything has happened.
Nothing has happened. That is my biggest problem with Ninja right now, is that like Drive was, nothing has happened.
They're not even solving crimes.
I know, at least Drive was solving crimes.
Solving crimes and doing jump cuts. Oh, Japan.
Fucking Japan.
Alright, speaking of Japan, Drive.
Yeah. So it came out nice and quick. Which is great, because...
Like Charles Carmichael.
I generally really want to watch... Drive.
Drive. Yeah, there you go.
Jesus. I got distracted and I forgot what I was talking about. What happened? A lot happened.
Yeah, first
that's
off,
the problem.
I'm 99% sure the little extra upgrade that Bono put into Drive is totally what's happening in the movie. It's some sort of...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's, so, it's the thing...
Pretty obvious.
It's basically a thing that will make Krim freak the fuck out. That Shinosuke completely believes that Krim will, basically take over everyone. So that the charade that he's pulling with 004 will be convincing enough for Shinosuke to destroy Krim, and then he can take over. That's essentially what this is.
Yeah. So that'll be the movie plot,
right,
which will probably go right over us because it's all going to happen off screen for us.
I think next week is fine, even though the movie starts in a day. But I think next week is actually going to take place still before the movie. And I think it's the week after that in which it'll be after the movie. So we still got one more week of sanity, and then it'll be quick, find the synopsis.
Yeah, exactly. Quick, to Wikipedia.
So we can find out what happens. So we'll see there. Again, there was very little direct movie tie-in. This episode, outside of the Bono being stuck in a driver thing, but that's not even related to the movie, that's related to Gold Drive.
Yeah. There was a flashback in which one of my favorite moments of the whole series happened is Krim going, "Shut up!"
Fucking, I think his name is Chris Pepler, the voice actor. He's amazing. He was perfectly mimicking human versions of the emoticons on the Drive Driver. I'm like, you sir are amazing.
Well, the dude in general looks like a Japanese Hugh Hefner. He's just suave as fuck.
Everyone says he looks like Tony Stark.
He does, kinda.
He's Japanese Tony Stark.
Japanese Tony Hefner. Or...
genius.
There we go, yeah. Hugh Stark, that doesn't even work. It's nothing.
No, that's not.
Yeah, that was pretty good, and I have a question about that in a minute. But so basically, before I get to my confusion of just being a confused person, Go and Kiriko's dad, I kind of like that he wasn't a normal dude, and that he went crazy because he was rejected like Dr. Animo or something.
Uh-huh.
That he's just always been a fucked up dude. just straight up serial killer evil. I like that just because there's too often those type of stories where it's oh, he got rejected, so you feel bad for him. No, he was just always a sick fuck. He even had an evil scientist there.
He was a sick fuck and then got rejected and continued to be a sick fuck.
Yeah, and I thought it was disturbing and interesting. It added another layer to Heart that he was the first one to be given human form simply so that Bono could torture him because he made him look like a dude that rejected him.
That's so fucking twisted.
I know. And it adds a whole nother layer to what Heart has for his character, which is pretty crazy this late in the game. So that was interesting. Now, here's my question, because I've always been confused, and I was hoping this episode was going to clear it up, and it didn't entirely. Okay, so Bono and Krim and Cognite Sandwich invented the Remutes together, right? But why is Bono more responsible? Because he put the evil human emotions in them, or the negative.
Yes, Bono and Krim were making the Remutes.
Okay.
And
Cognite Sandwich is in the corner, getting a BJ from the guys at Guantanamo.
Who's Cognite Sandwich?
He's the dude with the beard that
I don't think he was with them. I don't think he did anything until after.
So he was an associate of Krim's, and then he contacted him after Begins Night or whatever.
I believe so. I don't think he worked with Krim until after Krim left Bono.
Okay.
I would need to double check a couple scenes. But that's how I understand it, is that I can't even remember his name. Didn't work with Krim until after Krim had left Bono.
Because it's all very confusing to me because of how they introduced it.
The sandwich guy helped Krim with the drive technology.
Yeah.
Which, from my understanding, wasn't until after he split with Bono.
Yeah, and then he had some Roymunes with him, right? Which were
Yeah.
The ones that attacked him, and he had, Chase. Okay. Because I was always very confused, because the beginning of the series made it seem like Krim was alone in this. And then you had Cock Meat Sandwich show up, and it's like, oh, hey, I made Mock. Like, wait, what? And then he left forever. And then they're like, oh, no, it was actually the evil iPad dad. And then I'm like, wait, so who made what when? Why is this so confusing? So it was Krim and Bano, and then he's like, you're an evil fuck, I'm leaving. And then he teams up with Cock Meat Sandwich to make Drive stuff, and he takes Roy Meats with him, and then they betray him Dr. Gero style. Okay.
Yeah.
So there we go. So, we got it.
Repeating it one more time. Just
without so, all the references?
Just so that we're all clear. Bano worked with Krim to make the Roid Mutes. Bonobi is a sick fuck. And
Sorry. So much for the references.
So, Krim left. So, Bano had, like, pretty much all of the Roid Mute technology that they had. Krim hooked up with Cock Meat Sandwich Guy.
Whoa.
And so they developed... or continue to develop Proto Zero and the Drive technology so that they would have something to combat the Roid Mutes because Bono was a sick fuck. So.
It's basically like Forza. Krim's team regular switches and Bono's team Zodiart switches.
There you go. Whatever helps you.
Okay, I know Krim died when the Nandrin 17.
It's actually nothing like that, but if it helps, yes.
Well, but like, it's sort of like that where. They were partners, and then one of them wanted to use the technology for evil, and one of them for good.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Doctor Who. If it helps, yes, but in reality, no. okay, so Krim died when Android 17 and whatever killed him. How did Bano die?
Probably the Roid Mutes, because okay. He's a sick fuck. I imagine Hart probably killed him. If that was Hart, I would have killed that son of a bitch.
Maybe he just tripped.
Maybe he just fell down the stairs.
Maybe they've said it and we forgot, but
his
I would
hair
just
got too long and he couldn't
yeah,
see.
Yeah, exactly. He tripped over his own hair. He like tried to be Ring Girl and then he tripped over it. He watched the tape. That's actually what happened. He watched the tape and went to the house from the grudge, so he had two evil Japanese girls after him at once.
One of the Roid Mutes tried to use him as a mop.
Perfect. But okay, I was just curious about that because I don't remember. I was confused about everything, and then I was confused about. I don't remember if they ever told us how Bano died. But okay, so we got that sorted. That's all good. So he made the Gold Driver now. And I was thinking when he was doing that, I'm like, why doesn't he just either kick Krim out and take the driver or copy it and then crush Krim? But Tamari arrived just in time.
Yeah.
So that kind of takes that away, which is kind of nice.
He saved the day.
Yeah, like he always does. And, what's his name? Brain got his body back and he did a little cutaway gag dance, like a little hula dance.
Fucking Brain. I love Brain.
He's just like, I got my body back and he does this little, like, hip shake. So that happened because they're getting close to the promise number. Tornado got taken out. Chase got his driver's license. Very important. He smiled too. you know what I think is really funny is I kind of like that. At least at the moment, instead of when Chase shows up, Mock's like, death to Roy Mutes. Instead, now he's just annoyed because Mock is, like, saving him or constantly showing him up. And he's kind of, like, annoyed by that. Like, damn it, Chase.
Like, I like it now because it's a very playful kind of annoyed.
Yeah.
It's not like this serious, like, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Sort of annoyed like we had earlier. Like, Ghost really mellowed out.
Yeah.
And... like, he kind of, like, hit a peak in this episode to where, like, hey, I'm a fucking asshole. I need to stop that.
Yeah. Like, Shamari's like, you know, go, I know I'd have you to stop being such a little bitch. So I'm just going to let you cry it out in this forest. Come find me when you're ready. And he did. Like, I still am on the team that I think that Krim being evil would have been the best. But there are aspects of this I like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like the fact that I think it made for a good villain in terms of, like, this pure evil, but just in the fact that Go has spent the majority of his time in the series being so dead set against Roy Mutes and how Roy Mutes are so evil, and that to learn that Roy Mutes are way more human than his dad, who's the actual evil, I think is a great twist. It's just perfect. For his character story. Like, it, just the realization that Hart was actually this kind of vulnerable innocent that he's been seeing as this evil and that his dad was just twisted as fuck. So I think that was a good aspect in general, but just for Ghost storyline specifically. So I think in that way they did a good job with that. I also like that they finally used the go-kart formation, but it's not even proper.
It was with Type Wild.
Yeah, and Chase was driving. So it's like, come on.
You can do that now because he got his license. That scene was terrific. It's like, don't worry, I can do it. And he pulls up a license.
It's just funny that with that is this toy they're trying to sell, and they have not used it properly. And the first time they sort of almost do it as advertised, it's still not right. Because it wasn't color coded, and Drive's supposed to be driving, and I just think that was kind of funny.
It wasn't in Type Speed; it was in Type Wild. It's with the wrong people.
Just everything was wrong. It's all over the place.
I'm like, get with it, guys.
I don't think anything else really happened. It was basically just getting things in place for Gold Drive and Brain's Resurrection and the Promised Number stuff. But it was eventful in the sense that we found out the why Bono's so evil, or just in general that he is. And Go kind of had a breakthrough if he needs to, you know, stop being such a prejudice. Yeah, I don't think there was really anything else, but it was a good episode for sure.
Oh yeah, like I said, knocking it out of the park recently. Yeah,
I think it's gonna be a really good last stretch of episodes here, because we really got a good momentum going and some good stuff going on, and honestly quite a bit of unexpected stuff. Like ever since the midpoint after Chase's storyline wrapped, I really haven't seen a lot coming outside. I mean, obviously the spoilers, but I mean, even just reading the spoilers, like, there wasn't very much obvious things happening. Like, I never would have seen the Gold Drive stuff coming.
Oh, yeah. I didn't until the magazine scans hit. I'm like, wait, what? Oh, okay. Yeah, and then, I didn't even, someone spoiled it for me. Like, I hadn't seen the magazine scans yet, and they're like, oh, Bono's Gold Drive. I still like the Evil Crib idea. I'm like,
thanks.
Wait, what?
Thanks, spoiler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I saw it on Facebook. Somebody posted the picture up, but there was people on my videos commenting, telling me about it. It's always usually on a non-related video, too. Like, comment on an old 5-year-old Ben 10 video. Hey, did you hear about Gold Drive? So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I don't have too much about the episode. The only thing I was gonna touch upon was basically about Go in general, about how with like a few more tweaks he could have been so much of a better character.
Oh yeah,
we talk about this like a lot, but I think that something I've been thinking about with the new writer series coming up is, whenever we talk about a new writer series, a structure I always really liked was like Blades and like Agito's, where you had a storyline that focused on like three writers and it was almost evenly balanced. And this series kind of almost had an opportunity for that. And like, you had Chase and Drive and then Mach. And I think that if Mach's storyline had been tweeted a little bit, she had just tweet, motherfucker. If it had been tweaked a little bit and he had been less obnoxious and inconsistent, it could have been a really good sort of triangle of writers like that. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about it and getting frustrated that even though Mach's story has been all over the place, he doesn't feel out of place in the show, like he was forced there. And then there's someone like Beast, who I liked his character so much more, and he deserved so much more screen time than Mach's getting.
Yeah.
I was just getting frustrated thinking about that, because I remember we had a really long discussion about how cool Beast's character could be, and then he just ate mayonnaise for a while.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, because wasn't there something about like Beast was pretty much there for toys, and like the writer didn't want a secondary writer or something? I don't know, but like Beast was really weird because his storyline and everything about him and backstory fit in the show. Like, it could have been this perfect piece to it. But, like, because they didn't use him, he felt forced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, but, and then you have Mach, who doesn't feel forced, but I don't like as much. It's just, bottom line is, I should have used Beast more.
And I just hope. Absolutely.
And I just hope in the future that they balance things out a little bit better when handling stories like this. or if they run into some sort of toy scheduling situation and don't let it affect the pacing of their show or sort of plan for it.
Like,
Choke would be crazy.
Drive in general, I think, is just a series of really really unfortunate events, so to speak, in terms of toy planning and plot planning not lining up.
Lemony Snicket style.
Yeah.
All right, but I think that's about it for that. Now it's time for
ramble time.
In a few weeks, it'll be time to start your Energems, because Dino Charge. That'll be the new thing. We don't have anything that plays the theme song yet.
Brr. Open up the app on my phone.
I'll just do the Digimon Frontier theme. Every time. Digimon. Alternated, just occasionally do the other themes. Did do the Digi rap one time. Did you see? Did you hear? Did you know it was coming? Dino Charge. Speaking of Dino Charge, Pokemon was the gym battle, Ash won.
Yeah, like I feel like this was quick. This was a quick turnaround.
Yeah, it was very anticlimactic.
From Clements, and it was anticlimactic. Like, he broke through a trick room, and I'm like, you can't do that.
More like Clements was anticlimactic. Yeah. But yeah, and maybe it's just me because it all kind of blends together, but it seemed really short episode-wise between Clements' battle and this one, too, at least compared to usual.
Mm.
Like, usually it feels like there's just a long stretch of time between badges, and there's quite a few fillers, but it didn't seem like quite as much.
And I'm not sure how to handle the fact that this was badge number 6 and she was using a Spritzy.
Yeah. You know how the Pokemon anime is, though. Ash Bulbasaur is still a Bulbasaur.
I'm like, Sylveon, fine. Spritzy?
And I forgot they were only using 2 Pokemon, so like after it got knocked out, I'm like, what's the next one? Oh, it's over? Like, so it was very quick and very anticlimactic. And it was sort of entertaining because it was a gym battle, but that's about it. There's a new, this isn't part of this episode, but there's a new little Pokemon hopping around a logo.
Oh, yeah, the little thing with the eyeball thing.
Yeah, so that's a thing that's happening.
People are speculating it's a part of Zygarde's new form.
Like a tiny part, yeah, literally.
Like the little noses on Nosepath.
It could be.
I don't know.
It seems kind of early to tease Gen 7 stuff.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do another Togepi.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. But that's like the only other thing really going on in the Pokemon world. We all live in a Pokemon world.
Pokemon.
Kevin would like know the whole song right now and then sing the Japanese version. And now, unfortunately, apologies to Queefs, but Kevin's not here and Brian's the only one that saw Turtles, so I give the stage to Brian to discuss Turtles and I'll react to what he says.
It's actually probably a better idea that we skipped it because it was kind of a two-parter. I don't know how long this arc's gonna go. Basically, Gwen Tennyson came from the future and it was the same voice actress.
Oh, okay. Chrissy Seaver. Boom, Growing Pains mentioned.
Oh.
That's a really old show now.
Now it is.
Well, I mean, like, it's even harder to look back at. Like, I can't believe I watched it when I was younger. It's so old, I can't look at it. Their hairs.
So she came in the feature, and then, the bad guy has, like, the greatest name ever. It's Cervante Romero. And it's like,
it sounds like Ramirez's evil brother.
It's like this, like, demonic Satan looking thing. And I'm like, you have, like, the most suave name ever. And you look like Satan. But it was, the episode was Turtles in Time. And so the demon guy came to try to kill the turtles in present day because they, like, were heroes in the future. And so Gwen Ten pushed him to the past and was like, oh, hey, look, I saved the day. And she's like, wait, I fucked up history. Oops. And so now I have to go back in time to stop him there. And so they eventually win. We got to see the LARP turtles again because that damn toy sales.
Did they get the sports almanac back from Biff?
No, they did not.
Damn! That's why it's a multi-parter.
Yes.
Then they're going to have to fight his mom with big boobs.
So they took care of Mr. Romero, Ray Romano, and so they're traveling back to the future, and then some fucking shit happened, and they ended up in Japan. They said it was the present day. I don't know if it was actually the present day or not, but so we'll see what happens with that, but it just kind of ended there. They landed in Japan, and then Gwen was like, oh shit, and then it ended, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't fucking know, but
I really need to find a place to catch up on this shit. Like, I feel bad for going in and out, but, like, the scheduling just annoyed me so much. And then I would want to stockpile it, and I would forget, like... So I need to find a way to catch up on it, but there's, like, no good place that I can think of. Like, I even checked... Last time I checked On Demand when I wanted to catch up, it was a combination of, like, the most recent episode that aired and whatever they were rerunning before. So it's, like...
You might be able to find them on YouTube.
I can check that. I didn't even think about YouTube. Now I feel like an idiot. But, like, Netflix needs to, like, get the rights to it or something. That would be great. Because I'd love to, like, marathon it and be back caught up. But it's frustrating. There's a bunch of shows that need to be on Netflix. Like, everybody I know, I feel, watches Gravity Falls and... What's the other one?
Steven Universe.
And, like, it's not on Netflix.
I know, that was my problem. I had to download them.
Like, I think Steven Universe is on Hulu, the first season. So I could watch that, but, like, Gravity Falls, I found, like, a streaming site a while back, and I watched, like, the first three, and then I lost it. So I don't know. Like, I really want to watch both of those, but that's frustrating. Like, they need to put them on Netflix. I think Adventure Time's even gone from Netflix. Like, what the hell, man?
Netflix lost Digimon.
I know, but good thing I have the DVDs. But...
I know. It was like, it doesn't really matter. I think it was Japanese Digimon anyway. Did they even have it dubbed? It
doesn't even count. They're not even real. They don't even say Digivolve. Don't even have a Digivolve. Don't even have a Diggovolve.
Do you even Digivolve?
Exactly.
Shinka? If you Shinka, I don't want any of your shit.
That sounds like a really weird dance move. Like, oh, you know how to Shinka? Oh, I totally do. I'm more of a, you know... I almost said margarita. That's not a dance move. That's a drink. I don't even know dance moves. Bro, I don't even dance. But, like, I hope one day Cartoon Network stuff goes back on Netflix so they have, like, Adventure Time, and I can watch Adventure Time, and I can watch Steven Universe, and then Gravity Falls is Disney, so I don't even know what they're doing with their life. Disney. No, that's Cartoon Network. No, that's right. I'm confused. Gravity Falls is Disney, so they need to get stuff on Netflix, and then I can watch it and then be like everybody else.
Steven Universe is pretty fun so far.
I've seen some Gravity Falls. Like I said, I watched the first three, and I like what I've seen from that.
I downloaded the first season of both.
Yeah, so I need to get on that. Or at least have some competent DVD releases or something, because if I was really desperate, I could go buy the Adventure Time DVDs. But
those at least have season sets.
Yeah, so they need to be better about that. What do they think they are? Young Justice? Ninja Turtles 3? I know, it's gone, man. Gone forever. All we have left is the stupid Marvel cartoons that suck ass.
We didn't even keep our Batman show.
I know. That poor Batman show got, like, so many things going against it. Like, it faced the having to edit itself because of the shooting, and then also, like, them deciding to, like, squish DC Nation. Oh, that's because it was called Nation.
That's what you get.
Exactly, that's what happens. Alright, so, speaking of nations, Falling Skies,
this AKA week Falling how Skies. Fucking boring can we be in our last 10 episodes?
What? Like, I'm so surprised at how underwhelming the season has been. Like, this type of episode I wouldn't have minded as much a season or two ago. I think I said the same thing about last week's, where I don't really mind when they focus on certain character things or aspects of the apocalypse, but not when you're... We've done that already so much, and we only have 10 episodes left, and we have so much stuff that we need to address. And I have a hard time believing that this farm has been untouched by the war. Like, season one, maybe, but, like, this has been a long time now.
Yeah.
I can't even believe that. And wasn't there a storyline similar to that already?
I don't even remember.
I feel like we're doing the greatest hits of stories of, like, things that happened to them. Like, Tom, at the very least, Tom has, I feel like, two or three different times gotten separated and showed up on someone else's doorstep. So that happened. He tried to be like Rick Grimes and shave his apocalypse beard. He weeped over some biscuits.
He gave up halfway
through. Yeah, he's like, fuck it, Heisenberg goatee. And he weeped over a meal, and everyone's coddled, and that farm lady kind of looked like an aged version of his dead wife. I thought it was her at first. And like the kid was like a wimp or something. I don't know. There wasn't a lot going on with that, and Hal's totally macking on the non-nurse chick, and they found him. Like, that whole storyline was very loosely structured and weird. Like, you build up, Pope, he's got Hal and the Pee-wee babies. He's burning them one by one. The Pee-wee babies, not Hal. And then they're like, oh, big confrontation. And then he, like, shoots Pope and then gets kidnapped by a fly, and Hal drives off by himself. And then he ends up at a farm, and they just kind of anticlimactically reunite. That's how the storyline went down. It was so weird.
Basically.
So, and that's all that happened there. And then you got, Maggie got her spikes out, and Ben's really mad. And Maggie's like, well, you're 12. So it's exactly what we talked about happening, where Maggie's like, look, I need to get the spikes out because I want to be with Hal. And then Hal's already moved on in the span of, like, 15 hours.
Yeah. Hal's a little fuck.
Yeah.
Like, so I called it last week. I'm like, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Which is also a pretty unnecessary storyline this late in the game. Like, they should have just kept Hal and Maggie together and left it at that and focused on the greater war storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was the thing. Anne was mad at Coach Ease for doing illegal surgery behind a tarp. that crazy Norman Bates guy found the, like, a Sveni meeting bubble. And so they found that and touched it. That was like the most
good guy Marty found this.
There we go. Yeah, good guy Marty found the bubble, and Maggie got her spikes out, which were pretty much the biggest events that happened this week. I'm trying to think about the previews for next week. I know that there was a lot about, oh, fucking Jan's gonna be in it next week. Did you see that? Lesbian Jan with her lesbian haircut. I'll go back to Jan, and I hate Jan. So expect lots of Office references next week during the discussion. But next week, it almost looks like they meet up with another military crew that's going to be mistrusting of the Masons because of their contact with aliens. Another greatest hit.
You're right. This is basically just the greatest hits.
Like, because we had Tom be under suspicion when he spent time on the Sveni ship, and then you got Ben being under suspicion all the time because of his spikes. Hal was taken over by those tiny little bugs at one point. Matt's like, fuck, is anyone going to try to probe me? I'm still left out. Lexi was an alien. Why isn't she back yet? So, yeah. That I didn't see any of Popelet next week that I recall. It looked like all Jan stuff. She's going to be like, look, corporate is sick of this. David Wallace is firing you. David Wallace is actually the leader of all the aliens. Conveal. So, we have, like, I think 5 episodes left. I really hope they kick it up in these last 5.
I hope so.
Oh, it's unfortunate. Because I thought last season was pretty strong, if I recall. It's so hard to recall because it's been so long. But yeah, farms, man. And that's it for Ramble Time. We're pretty spare. Next time, Ramble Time, we're going to talk about the Fantastic Four movie. We don't know if it'll be good or bad right now. According to 99% of people who haven't seen it yet, it's terrible.
I don't even care. Like, so, it could end up being absolutely fucking terrible, but so many people, like, with that movie in general, were just, like, so negative about it in the first place, like, without seeing anything.
Like, right from when it was announced, no, MCU sucks, go die, I hope it dies. Like, I've seen people, like, campaigning to not see it because they wanted to go back to Marvel. Like, even before all of the reviews, like, people were dead set against every decision they made with the change in the origin, making Johnny Storm black. Like, all these things, it's like, it really is the movie that's the coolest to hate, I think, right now, because it was even before reviews people were against it. So, like, I feel like I'll like it at least a little bit just because of that. So, It'll be interesting, because from what I've seen of, like, trailers and stuff, I really like the interesting takes they're doing with it.
I'm 100% for new ways of viewing things. So, as long as the narrative's okay, I think I'll really like the movie. If the narrative sucks, then, well, it's going to kill the movie, obviously.
Yeah.
What makes or break the movie for me would be, like, just how the actors are and how the story is portrayed, not whether it matches any comics or whether it does this or does that. I don't really care whatsoever, as long as the movie is enjoyable. But I will say that, from what I've seen, the design for Doctor Doom is shit.
I haven't even seen very much.
It's like Green Ultron. I'm like, what are you doing?
The thing kind of looks like a really sophisticated version of the Big Rock Monster from Galaxy Quest. Grignack. And I know he eats it at Denny's, so he's cool. Yeah. He does ads, but
it made me really want breakfast.
Yeah, like, I hope it's good for me, just to, like, spite everyone, because, like, what I like, I think, most about, just in general, I really love when, like, I always say this, but I really love when superhero movies will take really interesting, different, unique takes on things, because it's fascinating to see, like, what their version would be. But with Fantastic Four in particular, because it's never been a franchise that's interested me that much. I don't know why, but just the base concept never really grabbed me. I actually kind of liked the first movie. Silver Surfer was a bit of a mess, but the first movie, it wasn't like, oh my god, go see this movie, but I thought it was decent.
Mm-hmm.
And the casting was pretty spot on, like, for real. But that was pretty much, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't verbatim for the comics, but it was pretty close to what I've seen from comic information and in TV shows and stuff. So I like that they went a different direction with this one. So we'll see. Next week, we'll see here. We might have a special guest. I might end up just talking about Vampire Diaries. I'm not sure. All of that will probably happen. And more. Possibly some snoring. Instead of a laugh track, we have a snore track.
You might hear some video games.
Snore track sounds like a third evolution to Snorlax for Gen 7.
Snore track. Snore.
Track.
Track.
Track, Snore. That weird girl speaks Pokemon. She's a weirdo. She's like the reverse Meowth. Alright, so now it's time for...
Tweet, tweet, motherfucker!
It I don't remember if I did anything after this. Every week it gets a little bit, like, varying degrees of hardcore.
I can never be consistent with anything, so... It just changes a little bit.
Alright.
A little bit all the time.
So we have two questions this week, because Kevin's not here to pick a third one. One of these days, you'll get the honor of getting Kevin's first question when he's awake and figures out how to do it. He figured out how to do it, he's just not here to figure it. So... He could do the math, but he's not here for it.
One of these days.
The stars will align. So, Brian, you go first, because I said so.
Okay. So, let's see. I could backtrack a bit, but I think I'm just going to jump right to our newest one, actually. At RiderRanger335 says, how much more gime can you take till you crack? Get it? Like the Helheim cracks?
So very funny. I'm sure to laugh any minute.
I added the rim shot for you.
So it's not even as half as funny.
Forever. I love Gaim. Gaim is half of my lifeblood. The other half is Hibiki. This is why that's still my wallpaper. I don't know why. There was a wallpaper of Gaim and Hibiki together on that Japanese art site, but
it was for you.
It worked for me. I'm like, hey, look, it's my bros. So that'll probably be my wallpaper, like, forever, for eternity, until I get tired of Kamen Rider, which happens every now and then. But, you know, like, as long as they can keep producing good stories or entertaining stories, I'm perfectly fine with them just, like, fucking milking Gaim to death all they want. I love Lock Seeds, even though we're at the point where they're just sort of recolors. I still love them.
To the point where, like, the Energy Lock Seed one looks like nuts. Like, it always did, but, like, the coloring, it looks like they're brown nuts right at the bottom. Like, that's what it looks like.
So yeah, I'm perfectly fine with the them still releasing. I mean, it's gonna end eventually. Just like Deno eventually started to fizzle out after 5 or 6 years. So eventually we'll hit that point, but for now I enjoy the gimmick. I enjoy that world. I enjoy those characters. So be it prequels or sequels or randomly placed in the middle of the already established narrative, I don't care. Just give me more game.
It's funny. I'm kind of in a weird place with that because merchandise-wise, I'm actually not that sick of it yet. Because, like I said, I do like Loxies as well. And I also like seeing all these different new designs for, like, arms and stuff. Uh-huh. And, like, I just really like the designs in general, so it's neat to see these different variations. But in terms of the narrative, I actually still haven't watched Gaim Gaiden. I was pretty satisfied with Gaim's ending. So, like, I feel like I don't really need any more. But there is one era which I would love them to do a Gaim Gaiden movie for, which is not even about the writers. I'd love to see the story of the planet for where the overlords are from, like their story. I think that would be really cool.
This is only a test.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
That was really creepy. Kind of scared me a little bit. There's no way to mute it. It overrides my mute.
I know. It's nuts. Balls, nuts, almond level totally. Nuts.
Exactly. But I would love a Gaim Gaiden movie of, like, the overlord story about, like, how their world was overrun and sort of leading up to when they started crossing over with ours. I think that would be pretty neat. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like there was a lot of questions there for me still. And, like, I'm sure I'll probably like Gaiden when I see it, and I'll probably like the new ones. And if they do any more, I think there could be some cool stories. But it's not like I'm clamoring for any kind of answers or content. I was very satisfied with Gaim, like, mm-hmm. beginning, middle, and end story-wise.
Like I said, the Zangetsu and Baron ones are both, like, almost independent, because they happen during the show, but nothing happens to the point where it influences anything else.
Yeah.
So they are more or less just there. They are Gaiden's basically, like, side stories.
Yeah.
So they're basically, like, Gaiden to the definition. Like, there are side stories that ultimately do not matter whatsoever. They're building a little bit of character, and that was really about it. These ones have a lot more to do with things. I mean, Knuckles takes place after the Driving Gaim film, I would imagine. And Dukes is a before anything in the show. So both of those are a little bit different than the first guy.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you at the end point, particularly in the Driving Gaim movie was perfectly fine. Like, I don't have any problems or really isn't any questions I need answering, but I'm still open to more.
Yeah, like the eras I would like to see is the overlords, and I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more prequelish stuff in terms of around kind of like what Dukes might be, and like when Zangetsu was first starting, and like uh-huh. how he became involved, like the sort of chronicling the story of how when Zangetsu was a bit more hopeful before he kind of turned. Like, I thought there was some unexplored territory there. It's not like I'm opposed to seeing it. It's just like there's some series where like there's unanswered questions, or you're just kind of needing more. But Gaim was very well put together.
Yeah.
So like I almost wish that there was just a few extra episodes in the series that fleshed out some things, and I guess some of these could take care of that. But other than that, it was pretty well done. But right now I'm still enjoying seeing some of the stuff they're putting out in terms of designs and lock seats and stuff like that. So yeah. I'm still slightly disappointed they never did the Deno versus Cho Deno movie, just out of sheer curiosity of what they were doing with that rumor. Remember that?
Which one?
It was a rumor they were going to do Deno versus Cho Deno. Like,
oh my god, I don't even know how that would happen. Like,
I don't even know if they were even considering that. It was just a rumor, but like, I'm slightly disappointed they didn't do it out of sheer curiosity. Because Deno was like, oh fuck, this guy's too popular now, we can't get his actor, let's get a new Retro. And then we got him, like, fuck it, we don't even need him. Just have the Imagine transform. Fuck it, we already signed a a Crossroads Demon contract for all these mods. We pretty much own them. They're literally sitting in chains right now waiting to be used. Poor Deno. Okay. Oh, yeah, it's my turn.
Can I just, yeah, okay. That's how it works.
So mine, I picked George's question, which I saw go up live, and I thought it was a good question, so it was an easy pick. It was basically, what character in Marvel or DC have you not gotten live action yet that you would like to see? I'm going to do that thing I hate and give multiple answers. For DC, I really want to see Nightwing. We've done Robin before in the nipple movies, but I'd really like to see with this the DC cinematic universe happening. I think, are we getting him in the Teen Titans show? I don't know, but I want to see.
Yes.
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Nightwing in both. The bottom line is, I've always wanted to see Nightwing. In general, I'd like to see like Batman sidekicks done better for this new generation. Like if we can get a Robin back or a Batgirl and maybe Oracle, so that would be really neat. Also for DC, I don't know when they would do it, but I would love to see a Batman Beyond movie.
Oh, yes.
That would be amazing.
Actually get Will Friedle to just be Terry.
That would be awesome. but I would love to see that, because Batman Beyond is probably my favorite version of Batman. That was originally what they were thinking about, and then they changed their minds to Batman Begins. So sometime in the future, I'd love to see that. Marvel-wise, like, this was kind of a hard question in the sense that I don't know as many small characters. Like, most everybody that I've known is on screen or in the process of becoming on screen now. It's a pretty crazy time. But I want to see, if we decide to eventually get to Venom in the new Spider-Man, I want to see Carnage. I've wanted to see Carnage for a while. I wanted to see do a better version of Venom, so that too, but I wanted to see Carnage and some symbiote stuff. And I thought of another Marvel character, now I can't think of it. But fuck, there was another Marvel character, I swear to God. Well, this isn't a character, but I want to see the Iron Spider-Man suit at some point.
Yes.
I don't think it'll happen in Civil War, because even though that was when it happened, I mean, like, the suit debuted, because he's going to be, like, a very early Spider-Man. But at some point in the Marvel Cinematic Universe history, I'd love to see that suit. It's, like, one of my top favorite Spider-Man suits. And now that it's part of it, I think it's possible. And now while you answer, I'm trying to think of that other Marvel character. So, go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's my favorite character. His arch nemesis, no.
I should have thought about this earlier. I completely
Horn
agree.
Blower.
Yes, there we go. Just have it be Diggle.
Exactly.
I completely agree about Nightwing. I love Nightwing. Nightwing's amazing. Alex Hartman likes Nightwing, so.
Fuck yeah. And Avatar. He's a pretty cool guy.
So I completely agree about that. I do believe he's supposed to be in the new Titans show, but...
Yeah, I completely forgot about that until I started talking.
I would totally dig, like, a standalone Nightwing movie that has nothing to do with Titans. I don't know characters. I really, really don't.
Except for Hornblower, obviously.
Like I said, if I had a lot of time, I could look into it and probably pick something. But off the top of my head, I'm just drawing complete fucking blanks. I know it is happening, but I still would absolutely adore a Green Lantern series. Not just movies. I would really like a series. But I'm excited that the movie took a Green Lantern core concept instead of just one singular, so that should be pretty good, I think. But and I would love a series, another animated one or a DC live action, either or. Would be really cool, because I just really have a thing for Green Lantern. I love Green Lantern. Outside of that, I don't really know Marvel. I don't know. I got nothing. I'm awful. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't have very many either in terms of, like, so many, like, so many characters are getting movies now. Like, you know, Gambit's always been my favorite X-Men. He's getting his own movie.
Didn't that get canned?
I heard that, like, Channing Tatum fell out of it, but then he fell back in it. So I don't know. I think it was just him, his involvement. I thought the movie was still happening. But, like, so many characters and storylines that I liked are happening already. So it's like, and there's probably stuff in the works for other things that I might have forgotten that I wanted to see.
Like, it's particularly difficult with Marvel because, like, I'm not, like, a comic reader or anything. So all of those characters that are within my, like, realm of, like, brain are all, like, getting movies because Marvel's just like, you get a movie, you get a movie.
Pretty much they're totally Oprah-ing this.
Damn it.
Sorry. Stole Oprah?
I think Shazam would be a pretty cool concept.
Yeah, I think they're doing that one.
Are they?
I think that's on, like, that big long list of, like, future movies scheduled.
Damn.
Yeah. So they got, like, everybody covered.
Everyone's got everyone covered, and I don't know what to do with my life.
Like, I swear I thought of another Marvel character, but I just can't think of it. I'm, like, running through all the different, like, superheroes in my head and, like, who's surrounding them, or if there was, like, specific villains that I wanted to see. It'd be cool to see Spider-Man 2099 at some point. I don't know how they would do that. But I would like, this is pretty much a blanket thing that a lot of people want to see, but I really would have liked them to do Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would have been the perfect opportunity to do it. Because, like, it's Spider-Man. It would have been, people would have still accepted it easily.
I think so.
It really would have set it apart from the past two movies even better.
They should make a Quicksilver movie that's just a different guy.
Like, with the guy from Days of Future Past?
Or no, a different, like, guy? A different one, so that we have three of them.
And then they can all fight in a death match.
Then we can have Quicksilver ties in.
Exactly. They should just make a Seth Wofford movie. That's what they should really do.
They should make an entire movie just based around Beta Ray Bill. Voiced by Chris Hemsworth.
Perfect. But I think Hornblower is really going to be what sets the DC Cinematic Universe apart.
Absolutely. Driving force.
But yeah, I think that's about it. I'll probably think of a bunch of stuff later when we're not here.
Yep.
All right, so now it's time for
final thingies.
I had to check my watch.
I had to think about what time it was.
I know, we kind of had a shorter show this week.
Final thingies.
I have a thingy, and it's not final.
So yeah, keep sending in the tweet questions. Like we always say, if we didn't read them this week, doesn't mean we'll never read them. We're either saving them or we haven't seen them yet. Or you suck. It could be one of those three. Just think positive. Or to be more accurate, don't. But yeah, so keep sending those in. Next week, I don't think there's anything special to announce other than we're talking about a movie maybe.
Correct.
That's all. I don't have anything funny to say.
I don't either.
There was a disturbing lack of fleshlights in this episode.
I only mentioned it once. It was disappointing.
I don't know. Help! I can't think of something clever to say.